Hello, everybody out there in internet radio land. Welcome to my show, Gods and Goddesses. I'm Blake Ruby, your host, and I'm here for about an hour to talk about anything that comes to mind, current events, what happened this last week, what happened today. And it's just a good time for me. I enjoy it. Look forward to it. It's an hour of my own time being able to talk about anything. And I've been doing it now for quite a while. I think my first show was back in 2017. So for those of you that don't know who I am, I'm a spiritual person, not religious, although I use religion to get where I am today. It was like a stepping stone. And now I believe in spirituality, the individual spiritual development of every human being on earth in their journey of evolution, their soul's journey of evolution, the soul, in case you didn't know, in my opinion, because all of this is about our opinions, right? We don't have a lot of facts in this world. Same with UFOs and extraterrestrials out there. All we can do is have our beliefs and then bridge that gap between belief and knowledge with logic, right? But me, I believe the soul is the brain of the spirit. So in other words, when we die, we're going to be spirits. We're going to have a spirit body that's made of energy, light energy. It'll look just like our bodies do right now, which is a miracle, right? Praise God. I mean, we were born a long time ago for some more recently. We don't remember too much in those days, although our eyes are working, you know. Something about long-term memory when you're a baby. You're more focused, I think, on just growing up and surviving, you know. So I do remember some things when I was about 2 years old. And one day, when that time comes, then our spirits made of light energy, that light energy, to break it down even further for you, are billions of electrons. From what I've read, what I understand. And the soul is the brain of the spirit. We leave our physical stuff behind, right? Our bodies, our five senses, continue to exist immediately. In fact, I've read that the best way to describe it is there is no death, just crossing over to the other side. Life continues. And like Dr. Raymond Moody said, life after life. Some people can't handle that, you know. It's just too much for them to think about. It reminds me of when Jesus was here on earth all those years ago. And he had his disciples. I don't know if you watched a movie called The Gospel of John. It's one of my favorite movies. The director's name is Philip Seville. And he is an awesome director. That movie, I think, is the best depiction of what it was like. And the actor who played Jesus did a great job. All of the actors were great. And the Gospel of John, you should watch it. I've watched it about over 100 times. I'm not kidding. I like it that much. Plus, I know who Jesus really was. And if you want to know, and I've told everyone before on my show, those that listen, many moons ago, my friends, and I'll say it again, in the book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, by an author named Michael Desmarquette, but it's a French name, so Michael is spelled M-I-T-H-E-L. Or is it M-I-Q-U-E-L? Not the regular way you spell Michael. And he claims he was abducted by this race of extraterrestrials back in the 80s, late 80s, taken to their planet in our Milky Way galaxy by the name of Thia Ouba, T-H-I-A-O-U-B-A. Apparently, it is one of the three most advanced spiritually and technologically. These beings are human beings in nature, approximately 9 feet tall, and hermaphrodite. In other words, they have both sexes, male and female, kind of like transgender, if you will. May God bless our transgender people. You got to know that before you're born here on Earth, you know what you're coming to. You know how difficult it's going to be. You have everything pre-planned. You existed just like you're going to exist after you die. You existed before you were born. It's true. And I was saying, some of Jesus' disciples, well, he had his regular disciples, 12 of them, right? But there were a lot more people who were interested in joining his disciples and becoming his followers, right? But some said it was just too difficult to follow, you know, especially when he said, I want you to eat this, that's my body, and drink this, this is my blood. And they're looking at each other like, what's this man saying? He wants us to eat his body and drink his blood? But they didn't quite understand the meaning behind that. And again, to some, it was just too difficult to follow. And I think what I talk about might be too difficult because, tell you the truth, I believe, and I have no way of proving it, I am an advanced soul, an old soul, a well-traveled soul. I've been around the universe, my friends, and you are, I think most of you are old souls too. To come here to planet Earth, from what I have read and understand, is a very hard mission. And I believe that most people that come here are well-traveled souls, you know, with many past lives under their belt. It's not easy. You know, this planet is a jewel among the universe. I'm sure there are others, plenty of others just like it, but this one in particular has so much life, you know. Just think of all the life. Over a million types of insects, each individual insect created specially and specifically with different eyes, eyes you can see. Just like you and me, hey, that rhymes. Some with wings, they can fly. They can all reproduce. Some are asexual, I think. I'm not sure about that. I know some plants are. All with tiny little metabolisms that work perfectly. Take a dragonfly, for example. Think of the body of a dragonfly. It's long and slender, right? Created perfectly. Beautiful, small, but perfect. It works and functions optimally. So over a million types of insects, especially in the rainforest in the Amazon jungle, in like 1 square acre of land there, there's over hundreds of thousands of different insects. Then you have all the fish. All the types of fish in the oceans and seas and rivers and lakes. Again, each one, different eyes, different sizes and shapes. They function perfectly. Able to live underwater. Some breathe air, like whales, although they're mammals, porpoises, too. Sharks, you know, they're fish. Over 30,000 types. Wow, isn't the Creator amazing? To be able to create all those individual types of bodies. And then the birds. Think of all the different types of birds. Hummingbirds. Cardinals. Red-winged blackbirds. Crows, ravens. herons, cranes, sparrows, finches, over 10,000 types of birds, different shapes and sizes, different colors, parrots in the jungle, macaws, big ones, small ones, most of them fly, ostriches, kiwis that walk. Amazing animals, right? Each with like a special defense attribute, if you know what I mean, able to defend themselves in specific ways from predators, you know. Each has that ability to survive, you know, their mind is geared, their brains are hardwired. Yes, they have brains, tiny little brains. Isn't that amazing? Hardwired to escape from predators, to know what to do, to look for food, to reproduce. Amazing. The Creator is great, truly. And then there's reptiles, all different kinds of snakes, shapes and sizes, the big ones, anacondas, poisonous snakes, rattlesnakes, coral snakes, water moccasins, copperheads, pythons, boa constrictors, or the ordinary garden snake, a garter snake, red-bellied snake. Over 10,000 types of snakes. Over 9,000 types of amphibians, geckos, salamanders. Mammals. Us, we're mammals. Like I mentioned, whales, porpoises, dolphins. All individual, beautiful creations with eyes that see, a brain, a way to breathe either above water or underwater, right? Amazing. My friends, if all that happened by accident, isn't it logical it could happen by accident on another planet in the universe? But if there is a creator, and I know there is, a beautiful, supremely intelligent, able to create all those bodies and able to create planets, moons, and suns. Sun is no easy feat to create, my friends. When a star is born, that nuclear fire develops in its core. And voila, just like that, it starts, you know, just a swirling thing of rocks and dust until it gets to be a certain size, you know, accumulating all this, all the rocks and dust coalescing until it gets to be round, the perfect size for a sun. Our sun is about at least a thousand times bigger than planet Earth. Or 93 million miles away, it looks, you know, like you take your fingers up, touch the tip of your index finger to the tip of your thumb. Put that in front of you, that's about how big the sun is up in the sky, right? And the moon is also the same size. Isn't that amazing? The Creator created the moon that's the same size as the sun so that we can have we can have lunar eclipses, you know, I think that's what they call them. I might be wrong. When the moon passes over the sun. Or is that a solar eclipse? I don't know. I don't know all the answers, my friends. You might. Anyway, the same size perfectly. If that's not precision, if that's not God's incredible intelligence at work there, I don't know what it is. But as I was saying, if there is a creator and all this didn't happen by accident, then logically the creator would have the power, the magical power, my friends. And the knowledge to create either the same life here on Earth and, I'm sure, different life that we can't even imagine anywhere. anywhere in the universe. Logically. I mean, it's logical. That magical power is not limited by our own finite thinking, my friends. There are some things that are just incomprehensible to us. The size of the universe, for example. We just can't comprehend it. It's just too big. And so there is life out there. Rejoice, rejoice, my friends. I'm sharing with you my knowledge that I gained from other people. Thanks be to God. Glory be to God, the creator of the universe. Such a marvelous, wonderful intelligence. And here we are on a planet of a lower evolutionary category. Don't worry, you'll get to a higher level. It's going to be fun, you know, through that process of reincarnation. Going back to that book I was telling you about, Abduction to the Ninth Planet. Well, what do you think the ninth planet means? It means that in the universe, my friends, there are nine categories of planets. A number one is a planet of a lower evolutionary category. And what does that mean? It means that the sentient beings on that particular planet are going through the beginning of their evolution. There's a lot of fighting going on because it's all about survival, you know. What it comes down to is money. And when there's not a lot of technology, there's not a lot of money. And so people are enslaved, and there's wars, and more wars, and more killing. And we've seen that in our past. Am I right? I'm not proud of saying that. I mean, that's just the way it is. But then, a planet of a second category or third category is when you get past the basic social values of getting along with people and trying to love them instead of killing them, right? And so it goes all the way up to a category 9. Those beings I was telling you about that abducted Michael Desmarquette to their planet, the hermaphrodites. If you came face to face with one of those beings 9 feet tall, their intelligence would almost knock you out with its majesty and power. It'd be like just getting knocked out by a boxer, you know, that kind of power. It would slap you right in the face, right between the eyes. Their intelligence, their beauty is something that we just don't see here on Earth. So if you came face to face with an ET, it might take you a while to get past that moment, that initial moment, you know? You might have that deer in the headlights stare, you know, for quite a while. Hypnotized, my friends, for 5-10 minutes, maybe. I should have known better. I didn't know that they existed. Wow. They are awesome. You know what? They are cool. They're really cool. Not like I met any, but from what I've read, they are people that have had these encounters with them that have been abducted in a good way. You know, nothing negative like Hollywood is throwing at us. You know, Hollywood is throwing at us. I had to repeat myself there. I get a little upset sometimes. I try not to. At just how we're being led to the slaughterhouse, if you will, down that road, believing the negativity, the fantasy of violence. You know, when we're good people, most people in this world, and you're my people, you know, I'm yours too, being mistreated, abused, ridiculed, taken for being dumb and not smart, controlled by the government. Abuse! You are my people. We are not totally free. I love the United States in that we give a lot of lip service to freedom, but are we there? You know, with all that's going on with the racism, the sexism? No. I was thinking today that the problem with the Republicans and the Democrats, you know, talking on politics now, is that there's a lot of racism and sexism in their ranks. And so there'll be this discord, the ability not to cooperate, not to reach between the lines, you know, to work out their differences diplomatically. Like John McCain used to do, and Joe Biden too, when he was in the Senate, you know. Well, you can see beyond that competition and just work for the benefit of we the people, the well-being, we the people. But I think that racism and sexism is still alive in the ranks of our politicians, and we must remember that we the people, when we go out to vote next time, just see what's happening right now with the news. Like I heard the D.C. policeman who almost killed during the so-called insurrection on, I believe that's the right word, the insurrection on January the 6th. He met a senator. And so they met each other, and the senator was a Republican senator, I believe, who was one of the ones who were talking like, you know, that it really wasn't a insurrection. It was more like a tourist rally, you know. And there shouldn't be an investigation. So this policeman that was almost killed, and I mean, he saw one of his fellow policemen actually killed, I think. I forget his name, but he was introduced to this Republican senator, and the senator just looked at him, didn't have anything to say to him, didn't say thank you, just looked him in the eye with a kind of weird look and then walked away. That was rude, you know? No, thank you for your service. Thank you for what you went through. Thank you for recovering from your injuries. You know, nothing like that. So people, take note of these things, please. When you go to vote next time, in 2022, 2024, I've seen some signs up Mr. Trump saying, I'll be back in 2024. Well, I know a lot of people voted for Mr. Trump, and I did too, because I believed in him. I think he deserved a second chance because I didn't like the way he was treated from the beginning. That's a long story, right? Some people said they were going to try to impeach him from the very beginning, before he had a chance to even prove himself. And that, in my mind, is wrong. But I didn't like how, afterwards, he thought that the election was stolen without any evidence. So I kind of changed my mind about him, and I become now Democrat, if you will, although I believe more in the person than the party. Because the party is always going to be in competition. As soon as the other one gets into power, they're automatically at the back, at the throats, saying mean, unkind things. The competition goes on. It's like the best game in town, my friends, you know, better than the NBA playoffs, that competition. But what's at stake, you know, and whose lives are affected by that? We the people. The good thing is they're able to accomplish some things, you know, for us. So they can see beyond their differences. But I'm taking note of what's happening here, and I'm going to be very careful, very thoughtful when I vote in 2022 and 2024. Now, I like Kamala Harris. I didn't dislike Mr. Biden or Ms. Harris when I voted for Mr. Trump. I actually love everybody. I'm trying to love everybody. And you can too. If I tell you a secret, would you please do it? I'll tell you how to love everybody. Just like Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. You ready for the secret? Pray for everybody. Once you learn to pray for everybody, like I do all the time, I see people on television. I saw a lady today looking after the homeless in L.A. I said a quick prayer. God, please bless, I forget her name, help her in any way she needs it. You better believe that the Creator hears all your prayers. You should. I mean, in a good way. Please believe that the Creator does hear your prayers. They're not going unnoticed. Some are more powerful than others, right? It's like a beam of light that goes up into the sky all the way to that source of light in our solar system that keeps our planet heated and lit up at least half a day, right? Then we have half a day of night. The dark sacred night and the bright blessed day, just like in A Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. Oh, okay. You want me to sing that song for you? I will. I'll sing a little bit of it. Okay. Backed by popular demand is Blake Ruby singing What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. Take a drink of water. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, a bright, blessed day. Dark, sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people passing by. Yes, they are. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Thank you very much. I hear the applause. Appreciate it. Thank you. Louis Armstrong gets all the credit, though. Just like God gets all the glory for everything here on earth, right? Everything, my friends, every single thing is in existence. Trees, the fences of your yard made out of wood, the wood out of your house, the plastic, the wires, the metal, everything because of the Creator's blessings. Isn't that wonderful? Not only our world, but everything within it. So I was saying I like Kamala Harris. I saw her the other day when she was talking about Juneteenth. I had yesterday off because I'm a federal employee. It's great. I was so happy. A holiday, a paid holiday. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Biden. Thank you, Ms. Harris. Thank you, God. But the way that she talked, the way that her eyes sparkled, the intelligence shining in her eyes, the love. May God bless her and protect her, and Mr. Biden too. I think, I don't know what his plans are to run in 2024, because he's getting older, let's say that, you know, as he'll be, I believe, 82 in 2024. But I think that Ms. Harris would make an excellent president. And that's what we need, my friends. More female leadership in the world. Why is that, you ask? Because with more female leadership, there'll be less proclivity, I believe that's the right word, to fighting among ourselves. We have lived in a paternal society for thousands of years. And what has that gotten us? What has that gotten us? A lot of war and killing. A shift to a more maternal society will lead to that peace that we seek. Unless you want to die, my friend. I think not. I think you love life, just like I do. But you just don't know how change the world. It's like that song by 10 Years After. I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do. So I leave it up to you. Okay, well, leave it up to me. Okay. I'm telling you, we need a more maternal society. I wish Hillary could have become president. No offense to Mr. Trump. But I think he did a good job. He helped the economy. That was obvious. I don't think anybody can, but very few people could deny that. There are the pundits that always criticize everything. They always take the opposite stance, you know. But I saw it with my own eyes. I saw the proof, you know, that the economy was running pretty good. And that might have been a result of Mr. Obama, kind of like a carryover, if you will, from his administration. But if Hillary had become president, things definitely would have been different, right? Let's not say for the better or for the worse, but it would have been different. And I liked her. I liked her smile. I know that she might have made a few mistakes, you know, Benghazi, the emails, but it's hard. You know, when you get into that position of leadership, you have to make some quick decisions and not worry about procedural protocol, you know, if you know what I mean. I like the way she talked. I liked her honesty. I listened to her many times talking. Usually you can tell right away, you know, without thinking that you're being fooled by someone, that they're really an alternate kind of personality from what they are in your face, you know, talking to you about, if you know what I mean. It's like O.J. Simpson, to give you an example of what I'm talking about. You know, here's a guy, and I might be wrong. There's a guy that was a superstar at college football and in the NFL. He was working on his acting. He was a Hollywood actor. Working his way up, you know, getting bigger, better roles. So he lived there and close to Hollywood, and he had his wife, Nicole Simpson, right? And so the question was, did he kill his wife? And there he was every day on the television in front of us for I don't know how many months, you know. Someone with the camera right on him the whole time. Now, I don't really, haven't had a chance to observe a murderer, a real murderer, close up, you know, continuously for a while to see what their body language and behavior is. But O.J. Simpson did not strike me as a murderer. In fact, I met him at a hotel I used to work at in San Diego. And he came up to me. I was working as a bellman in a hotel. And just like in the commercials that he was doing back then with Hertz Rent-A-Car, how he ran through the airport, remember that, with his briefcase? He came stepping up really quickly, put his briefcase down, or was it, might have been a suitcase. Well, here come the dogs. Hi, doggies. And we had a little conversation for maybe 30 seconds. Hi, how you doing? I think I shook his hand. Such a pleasant man, you know, with a smile, ear to ear. And he just struck me right away as very friendly, personable, good-natured man. And I think what happened, in my opinion, was that his wife was involved in drugs. And they're in L.A., you know. At that time, there was a lot of cocaine use and other drugs, marijuana, alcohol, you know. And if you get in the habit of using cocaine, and then you owe some dealers money, when they come to collect, which is what I believe happened, she probably had parties with her friends. Maybe owed thousands of dollars, you know, because being the wife of a celebrity, they probably funded her some cocaine, you know, and she promised to pay them back. But when she didn't, understandably, they become violent, you know, and I believe they came to collect, and she was a very combative type of person. You could see it in her eyes, fiery individual, fiery personality, you know. So you don't mess around with the cartel in L.A., you know, because they have no qualms about killing people, if you know what I mean. So that's what I believe happened. And then they looked, I believe O.J. was there, and they probably turned to him and said, okay, you want to tell anybody it was us, you've seen us, we will get you, and we will get your children, okay? So you keep quiet, you shut up, don't tell anyone that it was us. That's why maybe it seemed like he knew something, but he wasn't telling it during the trial. And really, my friends, if you had any questions about him or anyone where you're at doubt about what they're saying, just think about what it would be like if you could sit down with them for about 30 minutes. And just ask as many questions to your heart's desire to this person. Try to satisfy your curiosity as to whether or not they did something. With O.J. Simpson, if you could have sat down with him for 30 minutes and just asked any questions that were on your mind, maybe after 30 minutes you might come away from that interview or that talk thinking, well, maybe he didn't do it. Or maybe he did. Just food for thought, you know, my friend. With going forward, in regard to anybody, like me even, if you could sit down with me and ask any question that you wanted, first thing I would say would be, I plead the Fifth Amendment. I'm just joking. See, I've got a good sense of humor, too, right? Hey, what's all that barking about? Come on now, I got my show going here, guys. So the dogs have been let out. Making the pee-pees and all that. What a beautiful day. And just like I was singing in the song, pretty soon we're going to transition into nighttime. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Here we are on a planet revolving around our sun. In a solar system revolving around the Milky Way galaxy, half a day of light and half a day of darkness. Why is that, my friends? Why? Why do you think? Hold on, I gotta open the door. Hey, no barking now. Come on. Because we're meant to learn from darkness. As beings of light, we come from heaven, and we will return to heaven eventually. Most of us. Hey. Hold on. My friends, I hope you appreciate this takes courage to talk about this kind of thing, you know? Which I have courage, you know? I feel like I've almost died a few times. And there are some people that have actually died, you know? I think they are the most courageous, the ones that have had the real near-death experiences and have had conversations with God. Or the ones that have been abducted by aliens, you know? E.T. Our brothers and sisters out there in the intergalactic community. They are the brave ones. I'm just talking about the stuff that they went through, you know. So don't think me too brave. But sometimes it does take bravery to talk about these subjects, you know. And I know there are other people on BBS Radio that have their own shows that talk about a variety of subjects. All really cool stuff, you know. And I love them for that, you know. There's one show I think... I might have heard, I want to hear it. I'm just a busy person, like you, you know. If I had loads of time, if I was retired, I'd probably spend more time listening to BBS Radio. But there's one show, it's the Ass-Whipping Truth. I think they call it that. The Butt-Whipping Truth, Ass-Whipping Truth. And so that's what I talk about, other people talk about, you know. And after all, we are living in the land of the free, home of the brave, are we not, my fellow Americans? Yeah, come on now. I see there's a lot of motorcyclists get out there on the freeway now. Every time I see one, I say, there's a brave soul, you know. You hear about people dying in motorcycle accidents. Well, people die in car accidents, too. So I got to tell you about my wife. I think I told you last Saturday. Hold on. How am I doing on time? Okay, one dog after another coming in. Come on. You care where you're going in? All right, come on. So, my wife was involved in a car accident on the 10th of June. On this street, maybe about 10 miles from here, right next to the shopping center where we do our grocery shopping. She was going down the street named Russo, and there was a lady in front of her who executed a U-turn. And my wife tried to avoid her. You know, she kind of swung into the parking lot, and it was obvious to me that she didn't see her, you know, because she hit the right rear of my wife's car. A nice, beautiful 2019 Toyota Highlander. I still owe $39,000 on that car. And I'm like, oh my God. Clenched in the right rear tire. I'm thinking, oh geez, I hope there's no damage to the axle, to the transmission, to the drivetrain, to the suspension. Anyway, it's getting repaired right now. The policeman showed up. Took a while. I'm talking with him. First thing he says, well, you know, it's not illegal to do a U-turn. I said, I didn't know that. It's only illegal if there's a sign that says you can't make a U-turn. Oh, okay. So he got both sides of the story from my wife and the other lady. And that was on the 10th of June. The last thing he said to me, because I was like, she hit her. She hit my wife, you know. He said, yeah, but it looked like, and the lady's rationale why she is innocent and not guilty is that she tried to go around her. My wife tried to go around her. Okay, what's the difference between she tried to go around her or she tried to avoid her? So I was trying to talk with the policeman. Only later to find out that they don't make opinions on that. They leave it up to the insurance companies. But he said, the last thing he said to me was, don't be surprised if they find your wife is guilty. Okay, so since the 10th of June, we've been stressing about this. You know, I've been calling GEICO, our insurance, and talking with them and saying, I don't understand it, you know? It was obvious that the lady was at fault. When you execute a U-turn, you have to make sure there's no traffic coming because you don't have the right of way. You got to look left, you got to look right, and then you make your turn. And she hit my wife on the side, which means she executed an unsafe turn. So I did a little investigating. Okay, maybe there were some cameras, you know. There's a bank just up the road from there. I asked Geico to call the bank and see if they could share their video footage. I'm not sure if it covered that particular area where the accident was. So on Friday, I go looking for some more video cameras that might be around, you know. And I go driving down the street. Guess what I see? Oh, my God. About 100 feet from where the accident was, a no U-turn sign. I'm like, whoa! I parked my car, went running up there, took pictures of it, sent it to Geico. I called Geico a couple times. I said, there you go. She executed an illegal U-turn. And I was kind of angry at the policeman too, you know? Why didn't a policeman telling me that it's only illegal to make a U-turn when there's a sign there, not see the sign that was 100 feet away? I mean, I didn't look for it. Should have, maybe. But he should have known. I would think that would be one of the first things a policeman does, right? So I got this Geico representative and told him the whole story, you know. I said, this lady, too, was with her daughter. Her daughter showed up working. Her daughter works for Caliber Collision. I thought that was a coincidence, you know. So they're standing over there watching us. I think after I found out that my wife might be guilty, they were over there laughing among themselves. I told the Geico representative, I said, they were laughing. You know, I didn't think anything was funny. That lady just hit my wife's 2019 Toyota Highlander worth $40,000 I'm paying $710 a month for. She just ruined our day, and now they're trying to put the blame on us. There was a no U-turn sign there. The lady executed an illegal U-turn. Would you please call State Farm Insurance, you know, the insurance of that lady? You know what they told the Geico? They said, we're sticking with our story that your wife is at fault, that Jackie's at fault. I go, oh, my God. I can't believe these people. So now I've been seeing these State Farm Insurance commercials, and I just don't want to watch them. I hit the mute button and just turn my eyes away. You know, it's understandable, I know. I mean, who wants to pay? Her car was supposed to have been totaled. That's what I heard her say. And that was a 2018 RAV4 worth about $20,000. But anyway, now it's going to go to third-party arbitration. And hopefully they'll make the right decision. We uploaded, there's a link there in Google Maps that shows the area where the accident was and the no U-turn sign. There's a photo of a no U-turn sign about 100 feet where the lady executed the illegal U-turn and hit my wife. My wife didn't hit her, by the way. She hit my wife. You know, as you do, just imagine, if you will, you're at a stop sign. A four-way stop sign. Okay, there's a car that gets to the opposite side of the intersection before you do. So, you know, they've got the right of way, right? Just like my wife had the right of way. They start. They're driving by you. You hit the accelerator, hit them on the side. You should have waited until they were all the way through, right? That's what happened with my wife. She didn't wait till she had driven by. All she had to do was hit the brake or not apply the accelerator. And it wouldn't have been an accident. She wouldn't have hit my wife. My $40,000 car, I paid for my wife, which might have some long-term effects, you know, the axle, wheel, housing, balls and bearings, gears, teeth of the gears, and stuff like that, you know. Everything was working before. All of a sudden, they just ruined their day. But on the other hand, Geico said, it's not her fault. We agree that it wasn't your wife's fault. So your insurance rates are not going to go up. And I said, well, that's good, but please go after State Farm Insurance and find out the truth. You know, I mean, here we have evidence, new evidence. They should be paying for everything, to include the deductible, my friends, $500, which is due next Friday, $500 $100 bills that I might have to pay that I won't get reimbursed for because this lady executed an illegal U-turn. You know what I mean? But I'm patient. I'm a patient and tolerant guy, you know. That's life. I'm not cursing this lady, or, you know, day in and day out. I pray for everybody. I pray for her too, you know. God, may God, God, please bless that woman that hit my wife. Help her in any way she needs it. So there you go. That's all it takes. What else is going on? I'm running out of time here, my friend. 6:51, I've got 4 minutes. Well, I went running today. I found myself a nice piece of pavement on Lackland Air Force Base where I can do my walking and running. I found out that I don't want to run on the dirt track anymore. And I was doing a little research on trail runners. You get a lot of chiggers on your feet and on your ankles. And chiggers, when they bite, sometimes when you scratch, they can develop these water blisters on your feet, you know? So no more trail running or dirt track running for me. I don't like the rubber track because you go around in circles. And I think that's what developed the corn on one of my toes, you know, the pressure from going around all the left to the left all the way. Although sometimes it went to the right. But now I've got the straightaway. I've got 1 mile marked off. And I've got 2 miles marked off. And I was down there today just by myself. Nothing but nature and straight road, pavement, blue skies. Bird singing, sunflowers on the side of the road, about 90 degrees. That's okay. You know, a little heat doesn't bother me. I need to go outside and get my fresh air, you know? My friends, we're living in an oxygen depleted society, you know? Don't forget to get your daily recommended amount of oxygen, you know? You live in a house, AC going on all the time. You gotta get your fresh air, okay? Please. So anyway, so what I do the walk-run method, Jeff Galloway, walk-run. Except I do mainly walking. And then I run for like 30 seconds. You know, I don't do a sprint. I've done that before. I'm not now. I like to cup my hands, you know, instead of doing the open hand sprinting. Cup your hands. It's better, I think, for the shoulders. Usain Bolt, you know, that the greatest sprinter of all time. He didn't use the open hands approach that Carl Lewis did, you know, remember him, the 84 Olympics. So the cupped hands, as if you've got some potato chips in your hands, 200 meters for about 30 seconds. I'm liking that. I've got to keep that up. No more dirt track, no more rubber track for me. You know, it's good to find a stretch of your own pavement with not too many cars coming, you know, towards you or behind you. It was nice, and so I'm going to stick to that. What else? I think there's some of the subjects that I could talk to you about, but I'm running out of time. So when you look up at the stars tonight, my friends, remember, please, that our brothers and sisters that look a little different, you know, but they still have souls and spirits, you know. They have finite lifetime. Some may live to be 20,000 years old, you know. Imagine that. How would you like to live to be 20,000 years old? Some people are kind of fed up, you know. Life's too hard. People are too mean, you know. And so they give up. They throw in the towel, kind of, you know. But you got to keep fighting. That's one thing the Army taught me. Keep fighting. Don't give up. There'll be better days, you know. Don't throw in the towel. Same with people that commit suicide. Don't throw in the towel. So you're going through a rough time. You can pull through, you know. Just say a prayer. That's all it takes. You know, you got to believe that there's a big man up above. You know, there's someone up above. There's a higher power. And you're a child of that creator. You know, you're related to that creator. So don't give up. Join the army. Join the military. They'll teach you. Every young man and woman in the United States should join the U.S. military, in my opinion, for a couple of years at least. You know, they'll teach discipline. They'll teach camaraderie. Spirit de corps is good for every young man and woman. I've seen the finest, the most outstanding young men and women over the last 40 years since I've been in the military. Great leadership, just absolutely wonderful leadership. Beautiful men and women. I'm so grateful to have known them. I can only say wonderful things about the Army. Now, every now and then they have to go fight wars. But somebody's got to do it, right, my friends? I've got 30 seconds left, so I wish you the best. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you'll listen to my subsequent shows in the future. Take good care. And here's the prayer that you need to pray for everybody, right? May God, may the creator of the universe bless us, everyone. Talk to you later, my friends. Bye-bye.